thank Wesley for that song service.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to thank him for not throwing me under the bus every time when I mess up his slides. He always just graciously takes the blame and never lets on that I'm the one who messed it up for him. And I was just sure I had fixed that slide on there. I guess it didn't get saved on my flash drive. But anyway, I apologize. All right. So, I want to talk with you for a few minutes this morning about what you want to be when you grow up. So, you normally think I'm addressing this to the young members of the congregation, but sometimes we make life transitions. The average person will have probably 3 to 4 different careers during their lifetime. Whenever I was in high school, I wondered what I'd be when I grew up, and spent 20 years in the Air Force and wondered what I would be when I grew up and left the Air Force. And now I'm working as a teacher, and I still wonder what I'm going to do whenever I get tired of being a teacher. You know, I still have my dreams of going and getting my pilot's license and flying around. Not that anybody ever wanted to fly with me when I was at that age, but I would enjoy it at least. Denise talks about retiring from her job and working at doggy daycare and taking care of dogs. She can't work at the shelter. We have 48 dogs. But if we said doggy daycare, that would be good. So we talk about what we want to be. Whenever you talk to kids, especially about what they want to be, notice it's always something exciting. It's always, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be an athlete of some type. I want to be a pilot. I want to be an astronaut. It's always something that grabs your attention. It's something that sounds interesting and exciting. You hardly ever hear them say, I want to grow up and be an accountant. I want to grow up and be a government bureaucrat, push paper all day. I did have one student that wanted to be a mortician. That was their family business, and he was excited about growing up and being a mortician. Wonderful that some people have that ambition and want to do those things. And I'm reminded of a kid's song that I sometimes hear him sing, and it goes, and I'm not going to sing it for you, so don't worry. But it went, if I'm a doctor when I grow up, I'll be a Christian doctor when I grow up. Whatever I may be when I grow up, excuse me, I'll be a Christian first when I grow up. And that's something that you hardly ever hear people say. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a Christian. Maybe it's because we don't really normally make a living being a Christian, and that may be part of it, unless you're a preacher. But is being a Christian seen as being less exciting than a lot of these other professions? It may not always seem like it's that exciting. Certainly not all that glamorous or anything, but maybe it's more exciting than you realize. So, being a doctor. You know, a lot of people want to be a doctor. Kids want to be a doctor. Sometimes it seems exciting. Sometimes it doesn't. But there is some excitement about being a doctor, about being able to heal people and knowing that you have that skill in any situation. Sometimes you're just out and about and there's a medical emergency and you're the one that can leap up and save the person's life and receive all the accolades and everything for that. Some doctors travel the world and they go around. There's an organization called Doctors Without Borders, and they go all over the world and they save people and they heal people. And that can be kind of a glamorous thing. But even whenever you heal somebody's body, they're still going to die again. Even the people that Jesus or sometimes the prophets or the apostles raised from the dead, those people still die. It's great that we have doctors that can heal us, but no matter what, eventually you're going to get to the point where the doctor says there's nothing further I can do. Yeah. And so even though it's exciting being a doctor, in that sense, it's a little more exciting being a Christian. Because whenever we save somebody, not us, but the Lord, of course, but whenever we're instrumental in somebody's becoming a Christian or becoming saved, we're not just saving their earthly body. We're saving their eternal soul, the one that's going to live forever. That has eternal consequences. It's not like Lazarus, where he was raised from the dead, but then, you know, a certain number of years or decades later, he died again. He's not still living around with us. But when we save somebody's soul by introducing them to the power of Jesus, the cleansing power of his blood, it has eternal consequences for them. So being a doctor is great, and it seems exciting, but it doesn't have the eternal results that being a Christian and spreading the message. So, some other things that people think are important. Being an athlete gets a lot of attention this time of the year. We're professional football players. We like to watch on TV. My students get tired of hearing about the Saints. Always use Drew Brees as my example when we're talking about physics and everything in pro football. There are runners in the Olympics that we see. There are professional athletes, basketball players that seemingly can just shoot from anywhere on the court and make a basket. But we're impressed by that. We're impressed by their physical ability that they have, and also by the motivation and the dedication that they've spent. But these professional athletes, I have a lot of students that say, oh yeah, I want to join the NBA. I want to be a part of the NFL. We always say, you have no idea what it takes to get to that point. You think because you can go out and throw a football or catch a football, they're just going to snap you up into the NFL. And say these people spend years and years training and preparing for those types of jobs. They don't just stumble into them. But they do earn our respect and our admiration. In the Bible, we read that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. So it's good to be an athlete, but we also need to exercise our mind. We need to prepare ourselves for those situations where we can save somebody. So being a firefighter is another example. It sounds exciting, and it can be. Brian was here, I'm sure he could regale us with stories about different times whenever he might have saved somebody. And being a firefighter can be exciting. It can also be very boring at times. They'll tell you, you know, most of their time is sitting around washing trucks and taking care of equipment and sitting around waiting for something exciting to happen. But it eventually does. And they get a chance to rescue people from burning buildings, and they save people, they rush in, they risk their lives to be able to save people. And that is exciting. And it's something that's not only exciting, but it's very worthwhile. It's an occupation that we take for granted up until the time whenever we need them. We always say, well, you know, it's good that they're doing that, and that way I don't have to, but it's always amazed me that so many people will volunteer to do that. We have volunteer fire departments that people will do that for no pay. We'll go in and rescue people. And it always seems unfair to me that we should expect them as a society to risk their lives and go in and rescue people from burning buildings. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God as speed is coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. You know, that's our job as Christians, is to be firefighters. We're rescuing people from the fire whenever we tell them about Jesus. And it's even more exciting because just like as in the doctors, we're not just rescuing their physical selves. will eventually succumb to death, we're rescuing their immortal soul. And that can be exciting when you think about it, that it's beyond just being able to help somebody for a short time, that you could help somebody for all eternity. So whenever we're dealing with that, with being a race car driver, you know, that sounds exciting. You get to zoom around the track and everything. But even so, it's just a race. And we're part of a bigger race. We're part of a race where to win, all you have to do is finish. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And we don't have to worry about winning the race, but merely finishing is winning. And if you talk to a marathon runner, that's what they'll tell you. It's like, you know, when you came in 85th place, it doesn't matter. If you can run a marathon, you've won. That's an amazing feat in and of itself. Sometimes people that are disabled will go out and run a marathon. It may take them hours and hours and hours, but they'll still do it. It's the challenge is what's important to them, not the finishing first on there. And as a matter of fact, if you go on to read verse 25, it said everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. We're running that race, and all we have to do is finish it. And we're doing it for a crown that will last forever. If you win a car race, you know, you may get a medal, you may get a cash prize. But we do it for a crown that will last forever. Heard a story one time about the movie Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston. You know, back then, whenever they were making movies, you didn't have as many stuntmen and you didn't have computer graphics to try to make things happen. When you made a movie, people had to do those things. And so Charlton Heston had to learn to drive a chariot for that movie. And so he learned to drive a chariot, but he was still concerned. So he went to the director, Cecil B. DeMille, and said, "Look, I can drive this chariot. I've learned how to drive the chariot, but I don't know if I can win the race." And Cecil B. DeMille said, "You just finish. I'll make sure you win the race." He's like, "I'm the director. I can make that happen for you." But that's the way Jesus is with us. He's our director. And he says, "I'll make sure that if you finish, that you're the winner." And that's all we really have to worry about. You know, we just have to finish the race, and we'll get that eternal crown whenever we finish the race. So being a Christian may not seem exciting, but maybe that's just because we've forgotten what it's all about. We get our knowledge straight from God. And that's kind of exciting. It really sets you apart from everybody else. If you think about all people that you meet on a daily basis, and you think about the knowledge that you have, you may not consider yourself a Bible scholar or anything like that, but for all of you who have become a Christian, you know what it takes to become a Christian. And you know what it takes for somebody's soul to be saved. And that's something that not everybody knows. Some people think they know. We talked last week about people that think you get to heaven by being a good person. I've got to be good, and then I'll get to go to heaven. And as we talked about, you know that's not the case. That it's not a matter of you earning your way to heaven. It's a matter of you living by faith. It's a matter of trusting in God's mercy and His grace through your faith, that's what it takes. I'd like to read from you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. It says, "We've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God. We may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." So that's what we have to offer people. You have the gift of eternal salvation that you know about. I mean, suppose you were a doctor or a researcher and you found a drug that would allow people to live forever. That would be big news. You would be immortalized for all time for finding this drug that could prevent the effects of aging, that would allow people to live forever. That would be something. Can you imagine discovering that and then saying, maybe I'll tell somebody something. I'll file that away. It may be important at some point in the future. But not rushing out and announcing. That's what we have. We have information that can allow somebody to live forever. And what are we doing with it? You know, that's the question. We sing the song, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." Whenever you're on Judgment Day and your coworker is standing there and they see you rewarded and they say, "You know, you work beside me all the time. You never once mentioned that this was something that you knew about, that this was something that you knew the secret to how to receive that eternal reward. You just let me be lost." It's like, what kind of friend are you? Sometimes we worry about what our friends will say whenever they find out we're Christians or if we try to talk to them about the Bible. Maybe we should be more concerned with what they're going to say on the Day of Judgment when they find out we didn't talk to them, or we didn't care enough about them and their soul to mention to them how to live forever with God, to live in His presence. So I'd just like for you to think about what you want to be, what you want to spend your life doing, whether it's a change for you or whether it's something that you want to keep doing. I'd like for you to think about it. It's great to be a doctor, but we save people's souls, not just their bodies. It's great to be an athlete, but we're running the Christian life. It's good to be a firefighter, but we're saving people from eternal flames as Christians. It's good to be a pilot. One day we're going to fly up through the air and meet in the sky. Don't even need a plane. As much as I'd like to be a pilot, it's going to be even better just flying up and meeting Jesus in the clouds. Mm-hmm. He decides for the return. So you may not think of Christians as being an exciting life, but if you had the opportunity to be a doctor and an athlete and a firefighter and a pilot, if you could do all those things, that would truly make you the most interesting man in the world. Not that guy on TV that just thinks he's the most interesting man. He thinks it's funny to go knock on somebody's door and run and hide when they answer the door. Saw that last night. But just imagine what an interesting person you could be if you had all those professions. And yet that's what you are as a Christian. You do all those same things for people, except with much greater rewards than what the people do that do it for a living here on earth. It's great that they do it for a living, but you can do it for even higher reasons, and more important reasons than that. So you may not get paid for being a Christian, but the rewards are not just financial for what we do. And of course, the retirement plan's out of this world. So just think about that if you start to be disappointed with your life, as some of you are. Sometimes we think maybe what we do isn't that important in our life. But we do have an aspect of our lives that is important. It has eternal importance. And so that's the part that I'd like for you to think about. And if you are somebody who's considering a career, either a young person thinking about their career or somebody thinking about changing careers, always keep in mind of being a Christian first, no matter what you do. If you're a doctor, be a Christian doctor. If you are a paper pusher, be a Christian paper pusher. But whatever it is that you do, keep in mind that part of you that's a Christian never takes a day off. That's what you do day in and day out, every day, and everything that you do. Set the example. always make sure every conversation you have with somebody, you can follow up by telling them about the Bible. Help you avoid saying things that you don't intend to say. So I encourage you to think about that. And think about this as a recruiting pitch, I guess. If this is something that, a decision you've never made in your life before, to be a Christian, then this is an opportunity that you have to become part of what Paul said. Last week we talked about Paul's Christian resume. I'll put it up here on the screen for you. Your life as a Christian doesn't have to be as exciting as his, like we talked about. And I hope your life as a Christian is not as exciting as all the things that he went through that we talked about last week. But you can still be a Christian, and you can still do important things. The same thing that Paul was able to do. We think of him as a great Christian, and he was. But you can be that great Christian, too, by leading people to Christ and giving them the opportunity to live forever. So I encourage you to do that, to join God's team today, and come forward. And if you haven't given your life to it, you have an opportunity to do that. If you have, and you realize you haven't been a very good soldier, that you haven't been a very good Christian doctor or Christian firefighter, then you have an opportunity to come forward to get the prayers of the church and help you to become that valuable employee that Christ is looking for in his army. So whatever your need is, I encourage you to come forward and whenever we stand and sing.
Bright dreams of